perhaps got some rest and has braved the rain to get here. As we get ready to start our service tonight, I'd remind us that we are in the presence of an awesome God, and only He is worthy of our praise. So to set our minds for our worship, I'd like to read a passage from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers, households of the sons of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled themselves to the King Solomon at the feast, in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. They brought up the Ark of the Lord, and the tent of meeting, and the holy utensils, which were in the tent, and the priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon, all the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen, they could not be counted or numbered. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim made a covering over the ark, its poles from above. But the poles were so long that the ends of the poles could not be seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen outside. They are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The Lord is in our presence this very night. And again, only He is worthy of our praise, our great and awesome and mighty God. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we want you to know that you're our honored guest, and we're so privileged that you've come to be with us tonight, and we'd ask you to join us and participate in our service as we sing songs of praise to God. And if it's your first time visiting, and if you haven't had a chance to fill out a visitor's card, we'd love to have a record of your attendance. And if you would, please raise your hand so we have an usher that could get you a card at this time. Okay, I see none. If you would, you might go ahead and mark if in your books, if you use your book, number 359 at the end of the song service, and after Taylor Pickup delivers the invitation, we'll sing number 359, and we'll start now with a scripture reading.
If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm chapter 108, Psalm 108, I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Psalm 108, verses 1 through 5. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over the earth.
Good evening. I have asked each of the men who will be leading us this evening to pick an old favorite. And so I think that's what most of them have done, and I think it'll be beneficial for us to sing these songs together this evening. A couple of quick things. Men who are leading, please just pay close attention to the order that will be up on the screen in between the songs and at the beginning, so that you know when to come and lead your song. And then to those of us who are here this evening, all of these songs will be coming from the larger blue book in the pew back. And because of some of the technical difficulties we've been having, you may want to have that on standby just in case. All right, our first song this evening will be number 24, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 24.
No.
Number 210. This wasn't necessarily a favorite of mine when I was younger, but it was a favorite of my grandmother's, and she always asked me to lead it, so it became an old favorite of mine too, that way. 210. No me so.
Oh, Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so humbled when we think about the fact that we are in your presence this evening. And as we humbly come before your throne to offer you the praise and the glory that you deserve, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would make us holy again so that we can come into your presence. We pray that our worship this evening would glorify you and would give you the honor that you so richly deserve. We pray that as your people, that we would live our lives to honor you and to glorify you. We pray that you would continue to bless this church, that you would guide us, that everything we do would be in accordance with your will. And we pray that you would bless us, that we might grow and continue to affect this community in spreading your word. Father, we're so thankful for how you provide for us, how you have given us everything we have and everything that we need. And we pray that we will be content and that we will be satisfied with the things that you bless us with and to glorify you for those things. We thank you most of all for your Son and for the life that he led on this earth, the example that he gave us, and especially for his death and the blood that was spilled that cleanses us of our sins and allows us to be in a relationship with you. Pray that we would never forget that and that we would live our lives to honor his sacrifice. Pray that you would be with us the rest of this service, and it's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Number 205. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Number 445. 445. You know, as a youngster, some of these older hymns have poetic license and references to phrases that we don't use typically today. Songs like the Lily of the Valley and this song, Jesus, Rose of Sharon. I don't think the phrase Rose of Sharon is specifically applied to our Lord anywhere in Scripture. It's taken from a phrase that we find in Song of Solomon, the second chapter, describing the bride there as the I am the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. But I think the poetic vision that we have in our minds is clear, as a rose is typically described as one of the most perfect flowers. I think the writer of this hymn correctly applies that phrase to our Lord. And let's think of those things as we sing songs of praise to Jesus, the Rose of Sharon. We'll sing all three verses. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart. Beauties of thy truth and holiness impart, that where'er I go, my life may shed abroad fragrance of the knowledge of the love of God. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom in radiance and in love within my heart. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, sweeter far to see than the fairest flowers of earth could ever be. Fill my life completely, adding more each day and purity, I pray. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom in radiance and in love within my heart. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom forevermore. Be thy glory seen on earth from shore to shore, till the nations own thy sovereignty complete. Worship at thy feet. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom in radiance and in love within my heart.
Number 213. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Pre-Civil War, I think that would qualify for oldie but goodie.
No. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver glad.
sharpens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Sing song number 594, The Lily of the Valley. 594. We'll sing all three verses. Do me.
Sing Be Still My Soul. It's number 87. I kind of used to hate this song because I spent about a month and a half in one of my music classes learning to transcribe it note for note in two different computer programs, and I heard it about 17 times a day. And then I started paying more attention to the words, especially at the end of the second verse, where it says, "Be still my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice, who ruled them while he dwelt below." And that kind of overcame how I felt about it. It's been my favorite song ever since I noticed that. And so when Mr. Barr asked me for my favorite song, this was it.
Thank you. As we come near the end of our service tonight, I want to look at Luke chapter 6. Have your Bible ready, Luke chapter 6. We like to, at the end of every service here, invite anyone who has not become a follower of Jesus to do that, to become a follower of Jesus. And the reason being is because it's for your benefit that we invite you to do that. It is something that Jesus deserves for you to do, to follow him. And it's something that leads to our salvation. I want to read some of the words of Jesus that he said when he was on earth that Luke records. Look at chapter 6 and look all the way down to verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is describing two different situations here. Someone who hears his words, someone who follows what he has to say. And what Jesus says, that person's life is like a house that was built very well, because that house was built on something solid. That house was built on Jesus. All of us here have a house. Our life is like a house that we've built. And the question is, have we built it on Jesus? Most of us here have. Jesus describes, there's other people, though, that hear the words of Jesus and don't follow them. And they're like someone that builds their house not on Jesus, just on the ground. And different things happen to these houses, but there's one commonality between the two situations. The flood is coming. In both scenarios, the flood's coming. And what Jesus says is, if you've built your house on him, if that's what your life is like, if you've heard his words and you've built your house on him, the flood will not knock your house down. The flood will not do anything to you. It'll come. But it can't destroy your house. Your life cannot be destroyed if it's built on Jesus. Most of us here have our lives built on Jesus. And so because of that, it doesn't matter what happens. There can be all kinds of temptations. There can be all kinds of trials. Death itself can come to our house, and it's not going to knock our house down. And in the end, when God's wrath floods the earth, we're fine. Our house still stands because our house was founded on the rock, on Jesus. But unfortunately, there are always people whose houses are not founded on Jesus. Some are here tonight, but there's so many across the world. And the sad thing is, when trials and temptations come, their lives are destroyed. And ultimately, when God's wrath comes, their house cannot stand. When God's wrath floods the earth, their house falls over. It's completely destroyed. And what's so amazing about our God is that he wants everyone to be able to stand. Yes, floods come throughout our lives, and the ultimate flood of God's wrath will come one day. But what God wants is for everyone to have a house that can stand through anything. That yes, there'll be things that pound against the house. Yes, there'll be things that break against the house. But God wants all of us to have a house that stands, so that when his wrath comes, that we don't have to experience that. Because he wants us not to be destroyed by his wrath. He wants us to be saved from that and be with him and dwell with him, because he offers the greatest house of all, because it's a house where he is, and it's a house where his son Jesus is. That's what he wants. And so if you're in this audience and your house is not founded on Jesus, there is great cause for concern. And that's why we always like to conclude our service by inviting you to become a follower of Jesus. Because it is a sad thing to see someone's house fall, and it will be an incredibly sad day for so many when God's wrath floods the earth and all of these houses fall apart. And so we invite you to be saved from that, because the Lord himself invites you to be saved from that. We serve an amazing God, and because of that, we can withstand everything that comes against us if our life is founded on Jesus. If your life is not founded on Jesus, and you would like it to be, or your life used to be founded on Jesus, but you've created a different scenario where now it's not, and you wish to return to that, whatever is the case, as we sing this song, please come down to the front. Let's stand.